We spoke last week about the Zman, the Mitzvah Tzitzis, and the time the Mitzvah Tzitzis governs ultimately who is Chayv in Tzitzis. So for this reason, women are exempt from the Mitzvah Tzitzis because it's a Mitzvah Seishas Magarama. When it comes to a child's obligation in Tzitzis, so then it's really the same as any other Mitzvah. Obviously, girls are Pteros, but little boys, so are they obligated in wearing Tzitzis? So here it depends. It depends on the level of chinuch, the age of chinuch. So we know when it comes to all mitzvahs, say, the din is obviously min haTorah until a child reaches bar bas mitzvah. They're pater from all mitzvahs, but mid the rabbanon there's an obligation of chinuch. At what age does the mitzvah of chinuch kick in? So the Gemara says in Masechet Sukkah that it depends on the mitzvah. But whenever the child reaches that age of maturity to be able to perform the mitzvah properly, then mid the rabbanon there's a chiv of chinuch. So the Gemara says that. So when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah, how old does that child have to be? So it depends on the child, but it has to be a function of, can he live in the sukkah properly? What defines living in the sukkah properly? Is ein tzarich l'imo. If a child wakes up in the middle of the night and he starts running around looking for his mother and he can't put himself back to sleep, then that shows that he's not old enough to do a dira b'sukkah properly, so he's not chayav even in the rabbanon. Let's say you have a mitzvah of tils lulav, so if the child doesn't know how to be minaneil lulav, you give him a lulav and he hits his younger brother with a lulav, so then he's potter from the mitzvah of lulav. Once he reaches the age of knowing how to do the mitzvah properly, then he becomes chayav in the rabbanon mitam chinuch. So too, when it comes to tzitzis, the Gemara says, at what age does a child become chayav in the rabbanon tzitzis? Once he's yodel esatef, once he knows how to get dressed by himself, so that already is old enough. So the Ramah adds on to that, that it's not enough for the child just to know how to get dressed. The child has to know how to get dressed and how to keep the tzitzis properly. Namely, he has to know that you keep two of the strings in front, two of the strings in back. He knows how to put the tzitzis on. In fact, he knows how to put on an undershirt. That's not enough. He's got to know how to put on tzitzis. He's got to know how to position the tzitzis properly. It's not that complicated to position the tzitzis properly, but he has to reach that point. So that idea that the Rav is saying, that the shir of chinuch is once the child knows how to do the mitzvah in its entirety, so that's already a little bit of a chiddush. Because me'ikar adin, let's say a person is wearing tzitzis, and you don't have two strings in front, two strings in back. The tzitzis are all, a lot of people wear the tzitzis at the side, someone maybe they're not yotzei, they're yotzei also. We assume that idea that you're supposed to be mesuvah of the mitzvahs, you're supposed to have two of the strings in front, two of the strings in back. That's a lechatchila, that's a hider, to be surrounded with mitzvahs on all sides. So why should that be the shir of chinuch? The shir of chinuch should be, once I know how to do the mitzvah, why do we have to know how to do the mitzvah in its entirety, in its lechatchila form, in order to be labeled as chayav in chinuch? So the emphasis says that it's not really a chinuch in the Ramah. The Gemara is the same thing by lulav. By lulav, the Gemara says the same thing. The Gemara says, at what age is a child chayav in lulav? Katan hayodel in aneyabo. Once the child knows how to shake the lulav. The shaking of the lulav is not ma'akev. Once a person picks up the lulav, he's yotzei mitzvah. With the agbei nofek bei, the real mitzvah is l'kachtem l'chem yom rishon. Once you pick up the lulav in Esra, you yotzei. The nanuim, the shaking is achum midrabanan l'chadchila, hid, whatever it is, but meikra din, you yotzei the mitzvah without it. And alfa pichein, the Gemara says that you're not chayv and chinuch until you know how to do the mitzvah in its entirety. So the Ramah just borrowed that idea to tzitzis and said, even though meikra din yotzei tzitzis, whether the strings are in front, back, side, or upside down, as long as you're wearing a baguette of four corners with strings on, yotzei mitzvah. But since lechatchila, the mitzvah should be done in a certain fashion, the din of chinuch doesn't kick in until that point. Why is that? Why did Chacham formulate chinuch that way? So mistama, the idea is that they want to be mechanic the children properly. We want it, the whole idea of chinuch is to get the children into that good habit of doing the mitzvahs. So we want to be mechanic them to do the mitzvahs the way they're going to do it when they get older. So the worst thing we would want to do is to give them poor chinuch, give them opposite chinuch. To train the child to wear tzitzis in an improper fashion, that's not a good idea. So therefore, it's better to wait for a little bit until the child gets old enough to know how to do the mitzvah in its lechatchila form before we obligate the child to do it with the rabbanon. Once the child is yodeya masatef, whatever that means, so then he becomes a chayv in the midst of tzitzis. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes an age-old practice in many of the Ashkenazi communities, as it's roots back to the Maharil, and some before that, that the bochurim don't wear a talis gadol. Until a person gets married, so he doesn't wear a talis gadol. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this custom, and he says he doesn't really understand it. He says, once the child is bar mitzvah, so why shouldn't he perform the mitzvah tzitzis? What's the big deal? What in the world is this based on? So the Yemen says that it's a little bit of a pella on the Mishnah Berurah, because the Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Maril and saying he doesn't understand the minigis, because the Mishnah Berurah says, until he's married, he shouldn't do mitzvahs. What do you mean until he's married, he shouldn't do mitzvahs? He's doing tzitzis anyway. Everybody, all the Ashkenazim are wearing talis katans. In the days of the Mishnah Berurah, in the days of the Ramah already, they were all wearing talis katans. So the Mishnah Berurah makes it sound like until he gets married, he's not going to be Yotzei Tzitzis. If Avi's going to be Yotzei Tzitzis, maybe the Mishnah Berurah was worried the fact that very often the Talis Katans are not really kosher. We already quoted that from the Ramah. The Ramah already wrote in the Tshuva that very often the Talis Katans in his days weren't really kosher because they weren't big enough to be Chayiv and Tzitzis. That's what we mentioned, the Ramah says, that's where the Minig in the Ashkenazi communities came, was to make a bracha Al Mitzvah Tzitzis on the Talis Katan, because Al Mitzvah Tzitzis is not as bad a bracha L'matala. If you say lehesati p'tzitzis, that I'm going to put on tzitzis, that's a real bracha l'matala. Al mitzvah tzitzis, not so bad. You're just thanking your Kodesh Baruch Hu in general for the mitzvah tzitzis. So maybe that's what the Mishnah Berurah meant. Mishnah Berurah was worried that maybe in his days also the Talis Katans weren't so up to par. So he wanted to make sure that every bar mitzvah boy got a mitzvah tzitzis. So the Mishnah Berurah recommended he should really wear a Talis Gadol, the minig that other communities, the Yekis, the Sephardim have. So the Mishnah Berurah thought was really the more correct minig. I don't think he changed it. I don't think in Rad and the Bachim were wearing Talis Gadols. But the Mishnah Berurah wasn't so happy with his minig. But I don't think that's the minig. The minig in Akim, most of our communities is that the Bachim don't wear a Talis Gadol after they get married. What's this minig based on? Where did it come from? So the Maharil has a remez for the minig. It's only a Tavis remez. So the Pasuk says in Pashas Kesetzei that Gedilim Tasa Lecha Abba Kafas Ksuzcha Shad Chasaba. And the very next Pasuk says Ki Yikach Yishisha. So Psasmichas, that the Torah is alluding to the fact that you don't start to wear the tzitzis until after you get married. That pasuk is not such a good mockle, because that pasuk doesn't end very pretty. That's the ki kachi shishovoy leosneya. That's the parsha mitzi shemra. So that's not the model of marriage that we want to strive for. That's my real set of remes for that idea. What is it really based on? It's not remes. That's not the real reason. What's it really based on? So it's probably based on the Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Kedushin. The Gemara speaks about how there was a certain amora who was a bachar, who was single. I don't know exactly how old he was a bachar. And how did they know that he was a bachar? Because he wasn't wearing the sasudar over his head. Now, the minig was that the people who were married would wear some kind of a special head covering, an extra head covering or something, something like that, only after they got married. So this particular amora who wasn't wearing that, so they knew right away that he was a bachar. So one of the other amorim criticized him. He told him he should go get married. So you see that in the days of the Gemara, there was a practice that the people who got married, they put on a higher level, another level of head covering. So the stomach, that's where it came from. That the Talis Gadol is usually worn derech hatifa, even though we paskin mikra adin that you don't need hatifa. We paskin that you could yaitze the mitzvah even without putting it over your head. But since very often the Talis Gadol is associated with being worn over one's head, so somehow that's considered to be, you get married, you go up in kedusha, you go one step, one notch higher, one level higher in kedusha. The more covering you have, that's the greater level of kedusha. So to indicate when a person's getting married, he's reaching a new stage in life, he goes into a higher level of kedusha. So he puts on the Talis Gadol, he covers over his head with the hatifa. But again, it's a hard minig to understand, but some of that's where it came from. So whatever it is, whatever the source of the minig is, in most of our communities, that's in fact what the practice is. The Gemara says that a person is chayiv in tzitzis for the duration of their entire life, the chayiv in tzitzis. If the person is no longer alive, then they're not going to be chayiv in tzitzis anymore. This is true for all mitzvahs. The Gemara learns out from a pasuk that the mesim chavshi, that once a person dies, so then they're potter from doing all mitzvahs. So one of the examples that the Gemara discusses is, the Gemara talks about two different cases. The Gemara speaks about the Yisr of Shatnez, and the Gemara speaks about the mitzvah of tzitzis. And the Gemara says when it comes to Shatnez, once a person dies, so they're not chayiv in mitzvahs anymore. Therefore, there's nothing wrong with burying them with tachrichim of Shatnez. Then the Gemara has another discussion about burying a person with posel tzitzis. The Gemara says that really mikra din, there's nothing wrong with that, because the person is not chayiv in mitzvahs anyway, so what's the big deal? So we are posel tzitzis, it doesn't matter anymore. Meisim chavshi, he doesn't have to perform mitzvahs anymore. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that you still shouldn't bury him in posel tzitzis. It says in the Gemara Beferish, you shouldn't bury the person in posel tzitzis, not because he's chayiv in tzitzis when he's dead, but because it's going to be a loy l'rosh. It's like making fun of the person that, haha, you couldn't fulfill mitzvah, you can't fulfill mitzvahs anymore. So the mace understands what's going on. It also beginning of the third breath of brachas. So the mace is following what's going on, understands what's going on, and he's going to feel bad. His neshama is going to feel bad. They're making fun of him that he can't fulfill mitzvahs anymore. So the Gemara says, therefore, that even though min haTorah, there's no need for him to wear tzitzis anymore, it's not chayim mitzvahs, amazing chavshi, afa pichein, we should make sure that if he, There's no great mitzvah to put a beggar to four corners on the mace, but if you're putting a four-corner beggar on the mace, then you should make sure that there are kosher tzitzis on them. So Tais has a whole discussion about how come we're not worried about this long l'rosh when it comes to shatnas. Why do we pick in the long l'rosh only for tzitzis, not for shatnas? Tais gives you a whole love of the different answers why that's the case. But the bottom line is, we're not learning shatnas, they're back to the mitzvah tzitzis. So the Gemara says beferish that b'hai shaita, when you actually bury the person, so if you don't have to give a four-corner beggar. If you do, so then you have to make sure that it's a kosher. So Tosis has a famous comment in a few places in Shas, but Tosis, yes, it's a funny kasha, Tosis formulates. But Tosis says, the Gemara says beferish, that if you bury a mace with tzitzis, with a talus, you have to make sure that it's the kosher. So Tosis says, the kasha, the halo nogum came. He says, we don't do this. Tosis writes, this is not our practice. The practice in the Ashkenazi communities for thousands of years, like Tosis, 900 years ago, Balataisas say that our practice is for care. Our practice is that we bury mesim in the talus, and we dafka take off the tzitzis. We dafka cut off one of the tzitzis. We dafka pasul the tzitzis. So Taisas a pillay point. Chafesh gemar. What's this black on white that you have to bury him in kosher tzitzis? And the minigoyim is that we don't do that. Where did that come from? So I'm not the thing. It's against the chafesh gemar. So Taisas tries to be miyashef the malamit chus and where the minig in the Ashkenazi communities came from. So Taisas quotes from Rabbi Natan that maybe the reason why we don't practice what it says in the Gemara is for the following reason, that in the days of the Gemara, so people were more careful about wearing tzitzis. So people wore tzitzis all the time. So now, if you're gonna take off a person's tzitzis, you're gonna make him pasul tzitzis when he's dead. Your mamash making fun of him. That here, your whole life you're wearing tzitzis, and now ha ha, you're dead. You don't have to do mitzvahs anymore. That's not nice. That's a lack of kavod ames. For a bit, Tom says bisman hazeh. There are a lot of people who aren't wearing tzitzis the whole lifetime. They're not so careful about wearing tzitzis all the time. So now, what's gonna happen? So when a person dies, we're gonna go ahead and put tzitzis on them. So Rabbi Natan says, "Ein lecha loy l'rosh gadol mizeh." That's the greatest bizarre in a mace. Means if a person wore tzitzis b'chayav, so then it makes sense he should wear tzitzis le'achem misa. But if a person didn't wear tzitzis b'chayav, now it becomes frum. Because after he dies, then it becomes kadosh. Now all of a sudden it becomes frum. So you put kasher tzitzis on him. That's a big bizayon. So therefore, Taisa says it would be better b'zman hazeh. Not that the din's changed. There's still a consideration of loy l'rosh. Just the metzias has changed. The people aren't as careful as tzitzis they are anymore. So then Rabbi Natan says, so maybe we should do like this. Maybe every time a person dies, we should go see. We'll do a tzitzis check, like they did in first grade. If he was from all his lifetime and he wore tzitzis, he should not be buried with tzitzis. If he wasn't so from, he wasn't so careful, so he shouldn't wear tzitzis when he's dead. So Rabbi Natan says, that's going to be a tremendous bizoy. That's going to be a chazak covered abrias. You can't stop doing that. You can't stop playing around. And some people yes, some people no. So therefore, Taisa says, Alayz Breira, it's more of a bizoyon to bury a person who didn't wear tzitzis with tzitzis than the other way around. And therefore, the minhag became to change. So Rabbi Natan's an interesting idea for Rabbi Natan. So Taisa quotes another biur that it's not that anything has changed from the days of the Gemara. The Metzias is the same as it was in the Gemara, or it doesn't matter what the Metzias is. Taisa says the reason why the Minhag HaOlam is against the Gemara is because it's a machlekes in Chazal itself. There is a Gemara that says what I just said, that you have to put kosher tzitzis on the mace. That's not the only statement in the Chazal about the topic. There is a statement that appears in the Masechtas Ketanas, in Masechtas Smochas. So in the back of Masechtas Eved Zohar, there's this compilation of different brises that were come from the days of Chazal. They were never incorporated into the formal Talmud Bavli. There are different brises about different things. So there's a whole series of things about Masechtas Smachos, about Inyanim of Avelos, that's Masechtas Soifrim. Those are the big ones, the famous ones. And you have a few other smaller ones, Masechtas Kala, a couple others. If you want to make a really fast siyum, you make a Masechtas, Masechtas Tzitzis. There's a Masechtas Tzitzis, about three lines or so. A few odds and ends of different brises that were collected. So it happens to say Masechtas Machos against the Gemara. The Masechtas Machos quotes a brisa that says that no, that's fakirat, that you should not bury the person with kosher tzitzis. You should bury the person with pasul tzitzis. So Taisa says, oh, it's a machlokes atanoim. So it's a machlokes the Gemara Masechtas Machos against the brisa that's quoted Masechtas Machos, and therefore we pass the halacha against the Gemara. So Taisa says, that's a really, really strange statement. We usually assume that whatever it says in the Talmud Bavli, that's the absolute end-all of everything. You can't start digging up a Tesefta and a Braisa and a Yanam and a Mokka from some other place in Chazal. Those other Makaris are important, But they're only as important if they don't contradict the Gemara. Let's say you dig up a din from a Toras Kohanim, from a Mechilta, from somewhere. So those are statements of Tanoim. So those we do take them into consideration when we pass Kinshailas, but it's similar to like the approach we take to the Rishalmi, that if you don't have anything in the Bavli contradicting it, so then we assume that Halacha follows these other sources. But if there's a Bavli Beferish against it, so the Hechateisa that we pass in like a, what they call the Svarm Chitzonim, not in a bad way, Svarm Chitzonim, but these outside sources from Chazal, different Makaris from Chazal. So Taisa says it's really a Pella, but Taisa writes, that's the way it is. And then Taisa shows you that, by the way, if you're really interested in some halachic trivia, you'll find two or three other cases where that's the case also, where the Gemara says something, and for whatever reason, there's a Brisa somewhere else, there's a Tana somewhere else who disagrees, and somehow, some deep dark secret, the Minhag HaOlam became like the other opinion. So Taisa quotes you right from Kriyas HaTorah from Vayechal, that if you look in the Gemara, in the end of Maseches Megillah, so the Gemara says that the Kriyas HaTorah for a Tainis Tzibur is the Tochacha, the Brachas Klolos. And obviously we don't do that. We lay in Vayechal. So where did that come from? So Taisus dug it up. It says in Maseches Seifrim to lay in Vayechal. So Taisus says, the Gemara says otherwise. So Taisus says, yeah, but for whatever deep dark secret, the Minhag HaOlam became following that other Tana against what's quoted in the Talmud Bavli. It's a very strange thing. We don't understand it. So Taisus gave that as a moshel. That's one of the examples that, again, for some mysterious reason, the Minhag HaOlam became Fakir. So Taisus writes, but that's where the Minhag came from here also. So Kol Panim Tais says two biurim to explain this strange phenomena that when we bury people, we bury them in posel tzitzis rather than in kosher tzitzis. One is to say that we don't disagree with the Gemara, just that the facts have changed. People's minhag has become different in terms of not wearing tzitzis as carefully. And the other biur is to say, no, the facts haven't changed. It's just that we don't postulate that Gemara for whatever reason. So the Ramah quotes this practice in the Ashkenazi Minhagim, and that's what the standard practice is in Ashkenazi communities today, to bury the person but to passel one of the tzitzis, again, for whatever reason that we defend this custom. The Vilna Gaon, Kayadua, was against this custom. The Vilna Gaon says in the Gemara, there's stories with Maseches Smachas and Laisla, it says in the Gemara that you have to bury the person with the kosher tzitzis. So the Gemara insists that that's the din, you have to bury the person with kosher tzitzis. So the way the story goes is that the Gra was Niftar and Cholamot Sukkis. That's not a legend, that's true. His Yurtzeit is the third day, I forget about it, one of the days of Cholamot Sukkis. So then there are different permutations of the story, but the story went somewhere along the lines of that the Gra gave a specific tzavah to some one of his Tamidim to make sure that when he's buried, he should make sure that he's buried with a kosher tzitzis, against what the minig of everybody else was. And apparently, again, the way the story goes is that this particular Talmud was away because it was Sukkis, so he got home. By the time he came back, it was too late. Didn't know. The bottom line is that probably the Gro was buried like everybody else. Like he was buried with the posel tzitzis against his own psach. That he said that the correct psach is he should be buried with kosher tzitzis, but the Gro wasn't matzliach to have his own psach implemented for himself. So whatever it is, the Maaseh, the Minhag HaOlam was still this way. And Ashkenazi communities they do this way. In Eretz Yisrael, I think they don't bury with the talus. They don't bury with talus b'chlal, right? In Eretz Yisrael b'chlal, they don't bury with talus. And the Yerushalayim, right? The Yerushalayim is that they don't get involved in Mishael in Yerushalayim. You don't have to discuss whether kosher or posel, they just don't put in a talus again. No, they're very. You can't start up with them. I mean, how you shall I have in Kavur? Forget it. You're running into a brick wall. You think you can change something there?
When I was at Congregation of Flavish, we would the square there. We would cut it a little bit. We put it in a bow and tuck it in.
Right. It's posel, and then they think they just keep it. What do? Is that the standard minhag? The Ramah thing says just to cut off the string. No, the Ramah says he cut, but it's possible.
They for some reason went quasi. They wouldn't cut off the string. They would just tuck it in that square pocket. They would put it.
I mean, they didn't cut it. They didn't cut it.
They did not cut it off.
Really? Never. I don't know. There are different minhagim in this area. I don't know. I thought that the regular minhag. I thought what? They cut. I think that's the regular minhag. I don't know. There are different minhagim in these areas. Whatever the minhag is, people should continue to do. First, the Gemara has Maseches Shabbos certain guidelines in terms of Kavod HaMeis. Rachitzenes and Meisachnes and different things that the Mishnayos and the Gemara say you're supposed to do the Kavod HaMeis. So the Poskim write that they were different than Hagim. The idea is it should be the Kavod HaMeis. So whatever the meaning in that place is considered to be the greatest Kavod HaMeis, that's what has to be done. There are other halachas that govern tzitzis, particularly surrounding in a base akvaros, which are also issues related to loig l'rosh. You want to make sure that you don't make fun of mesim. The Gemara says that when you're walking in a base akvaros, so you shouldn't have your tzitzis dragging along the kvarim. That's not appropriate. It's like you're making fun of the mesim, saying that they can't wear tzitzis anymore. So it's clear from the Gemara that you're not allowed to drag them on the kvarim, but you're allowed to have them on. You're allowed to wear tzitzis in a base akvaros. There's nothing wrong with that. So the Rabbi Yonah writes that Bamedva Mamurim, that the Gemara says that the only problem is if the tzitzis mamish dragging onto the floor, that's only true if you're wearing tzitzis as a regular garment, like in the days of the Gemara. So tzitzis wasn't a special garment. Whoever had a four-cornered garment, but always that was normal. So you put tzitzis on a regular beged. Whereas Bizman Azes, says Rabbeinu Yonah, when we wear tzitzis, nobody wears a four-cornered garment. We have the garment which are miuchadim for tzitzis. We go out of our way to put it on the talis gadol. We go out of our way to put it on a talis katan. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, our tzitzis are mamish such mitzvahs, they're such chatzashal mitzvahs, because everybody knows the only reason I'm wearing this beged is to fulfill the mitzvah. So Rabbeinu Yonah says it's not appropriate that these tzitzis should be exposed in a beis hakvaros, even if they're not dragging on the kever. Just stop. I'm walking around. I'm going to put my talis on and walk around the beis hakvaros. That's a loig l'rosh. In the days of the Gemara, I didn't put my talis on to be yotzei the mitzvah. I put on a talis because everyone wants a four cornered beged. So that's not such a loig l'rosh. It's only a loig l'rosh if it mamish hits the kvarim. Whereas bizman hazeh, just the very essence of walking around with my talis on, that's a problem. That says Rabbeinu Yonah, even walking around my tzitzis on would be a problem if the tzitzis are visible, if the tzitzis are tucked in. Okay, so no one could say, so that's not a loyal rush. But to walk on a basic kvarim, and your tzitzis flying in the wind, even though they're not on the kvarim, that's not appropriate. That's the post. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this Rabbeinu Yonah. That's a weird night. We try to be knowing that when a person goes to a basic kvarim, so they should tuck their tzitzis in. Even those who have the practice of wearing tzitzis out all the time should make sure to tuck their tzitzis in at the time when they're in a basic kvarim. There are other halachas that govern in terms of how one should treat the tzitzis, not so much in terms of the mitzvah tzitzis, but in terms of the proper covet of tzitzis. We spoke a little bit on Friday night. We spoke about tefillin. We said that there are some halachas of Ilchus tefillin that are based on the mitzvah of tefillin, and there are other halachas of tefillin which are based on the kedushas of tefillin. The person can't take tefillin to the bathroom and can't sleep with tefillin. Those are dinim that emanate from the kedushas of tefillin. So when it comes to tzitzis, we don't quite have that comparison. We don't have that parallel halacha because tzitzis don't really have kedusha to them. The Gemara in the end of Megillah says that tzitzis are an example of what we call tashmishei mitzvah. There are some chetzesha mitzvahs that are tashmishei kedusha, and there are other tashmishei mitzvahs that are only called tashmishei mitzvah. So the mashal sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, those are tashmishei kedusha, whereas the tzitzis, the lulav, the sukkah, shofar, those are tashmishei mitzvah. Well, how do you know whether something is tashmishei kedusha or whether something is tashmishei mitzvah? So it's clear that tashmishei kedusha are things that emanate from Hashem Hashem. Anything that has a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name on it, Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the source of Kedusha in this world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all Kedusha. So anything that has a direct reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that has Kedusha to it, has to be treated appropriately. That's why Sefer Torah is Kadosh. That's why Tefillin are Kadosh. Even the, not just the Parshas of the Tefillin, but the Batim are also Kadosh, because the Batim have Hashem Hashem also on it. They have the Shin, and even the Shel Yad, and even the Ritzuos, but they're attached to the rest of the Tefillin, so they're all considered to be Dvarim Shem Kedusha. Yeah, even if you take off the straps, they retain the Kedusha. Not only do they retain the Kedusha, but even the tefillin bag has Kedusha to it, because the tefillin bag houses the tefillin, which in turn houses the Shem Hashem. So anything which is part of that picture of Kedusha has Kedusha to it.
So let's say a person has a minhag to keep his tefillin in a tefillin bag, the tefillin bag in his talis bag.
Yeah, so that's not the Gemara. So it doesn't go that far out. It means there's only Tashmish and Kedusha. Once it's Tashmish to Tashmish, once it's so far removed, so then it doesn't have any more Kedusha. So when it comes to tzitzis, when it comes to shofar, when it comes to sukkah, these are not dvarim shebikedusha. There's no shem Hashem. Sukkah is a little bit of a quirk. Sukkah, during the week of sukkah, there's a special little chal shem shemayim al sukkah. You can't get hanor from the sukkah min haTorah. That's a different story. But in terms of, say, once the sukkah is over, so the schach doesn't have kedusha to it. After sukkah, the lulav doesn't have kedusha to it. The shofar doesn't have kedusha. The tzitzis don't have kedusha to them. So that's what the Gemara says, that whereas tashmishe kedusha are nignozin, you have to put them into shemis and put them into geniza. Tashmishe mitzvah is rockin, that you just throw them into the garbage. When you, let's say you have an old shofar, shofar cracks, you throw them into the garbage. You have a schach, your bamboo is already over bottle, so you throw them into the garbage and finish. Tashmishe mitzvah on Israqim. So Avot Pichain, the Rishonim write, but even though that's the din, that really tashmishe mitzvah on Israqim, but you should try to be zorik in a place that's not such a bizoya. It's such a bizoya mitzvah. You're going to take your shofar. For 50 years you've been hearing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, and then one day it cracks, you take them and throw it into the regular garbage can. It's a loyafet, it's not right. But on the other hand, it's silly to put it into Sheamus. You don't have to put it into Geniza. So what do you do with it? So the Rishonim record a practice that you should put it into a Mokom Mechubad. You should discard it. You should throw it away. You don't have to bury it, but you should bury it. You should throw it away in such a way that's a Bekovedik. What does that mean? So you don't throw it with the regular garbage. That's what the minhag is. You wrap it up in a bag. You wrap it up in a plastic bag, and then you throw it with the regular garbage. As long as you don't throw it with the dirty diapers, so that's okay. That's considered to be enough of a kavod. So that's what the poskim write when it comes to tzitzis also, that there's no need to put tzitzis into Sheamus. Usually you go into the Sheamus piles, there are mountains and mountains of old tzitzis. Yes, that's silly. I'm taking up room in the Sheamus. It's much riach people for no reason. So you should throw the tzitzis into the garbage. But before you throw them into the garbage, you should wrap it up in appropriately. That should be mamish as a mochom bizayim. Since tzitzis don't really have kedusha to them, therefore the halachas that govern where you're allowed to go in, let's say with a pair of tefillin, don't apply to tzitzis. Let's mush into the bathroom. So going to the bathroom with tefillin, that's a serious problem. The raisa, imam shmim mevaz, the kedusha of tefillin, whereas when it comes to tzitzis, there's no way to go into the bathroom with tzitzis. I have to take a tzitzis off before I go into the bathroom. There is a din that you shouldn't go into the bathroom with a begat shel tefillah, let's say a talis gadol, which is miyuchad for davening. So that tacha you shouldn't go into the bathroom. That's a different word. That's not the same as tefillin. That's a separate din. It's covered at tefillah. It's not right. If you have something that you only wear for davening, so you shouldn't wear that into the bathroom, even if it's not a davar shel mitzvah. It's a mashal kittel. So the pasuk came right that you shouldn't wear a kittel into the bathroom for the same reason. Well, let's say a person has a davening hat or davening jacket, something he only wears for davening. So most people, the jacket, they'll still run it, they'll put the jacket on for other things also. But if a person has it's his davening jacket, it's his davening hat, he never puts it on for anything else, so then Tachi should not wear that into the bathroom either. But tzitzis, I'll call upon him, in terms of the mitam, their own kedusha, so tzitzis don't have any kedusha. They're only tashmishim mitzvah, there's no shem Hashem involved in them. And therefore, one is perfectly permitted to put them into the bathroom. The same reason one is permitted to sleep in one's tzitzis. To sleep in one's tefillin is not appropriate, but to sleep in one's tzitzis is hefter gomor. So we mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago that there are different practices about whether a person should be sleeping in tzitzis. Is that a good idea to sleep in one's tzitzis and say the whole night or not? So the minhag of the Ari HaKadosh, and the Chassidim have their practice of sleeping in tzitzis the whole night, and many others don't follow that practice. Some are concerned it's going to create shalos of sfeikus and brachas, other issues that come up. So many have the practice of not sleeping in tzitzis, but in terms of being also, there's no issa whatsoever. So the Ramah quotes a question about giving a talis gadol to a non-Jewish cleaner. Is that appropriate or not? So the Ramah quotes there was somewhere the practice that they wouldn't give their talis to the non-Jewish cleaner. Why is that? The stomach they felt that the non-Jewish cleaner is going to, in the process of cleaning, they're going to throw tzitzis on the floor, they're not going to be so careful with it, they're going to treat it disrespectfully. So they felt that maybe that was not the most appropriate thing to do. We're not so machmir about that. We assume that the cleaner is probably not going to throw it onto the floor, especially when they have the talis cleaning specials before you have to get a good deal on it. So we're the minigas. I think most people do give their talis every once in a while into the non-Jewish cleaners, and we're not too careful about that.
Tzitzis always drag on the floor. It's almost impossible not when you sit down.
Yeah. The Gemara tells Maseches Gittin about Ben Tzitzis HaKesses. The Gemara says that was one of the rich people in Yerushalayim, so he was called Ben Tzitzis HaKesses because wherever he was going, his tzitzis was so long that they would bring pillows along so his tzitzis shouldn't get too dirty. But it's not until the Malachi Ashari, so even though it's not the most respectful thing for the tzitzis to be on the floor, it's like, so you have Shem Lavach. It's almost very, very hard to prevent it. Talis gadol should be the same as this talis gadol. It should be big enough to be covered.
No, it
should be enough to do a little bit of an atifa. We try to do atifa on it. So when we speak about the mitzvah of tzitzis in terms of how much, how often a person should be wearing tzitzis, so we started off the shiurim by saying that tzitzis is really a mitzvah when you have the four-cornered baggage. If and when you're wearing a four-cornered baggage, then you're supposed to go out of your way to put, then you should put the tzitzis on. But there's no real chiyuv to go out of your way to put the talis on in the first place. So we quoted already a few weeks ago, we started the shiur from the Rishonim, that we, avol b'chein, we go out of our way, dafka, to put a baggage on, dafka, to make ourselves chayv in the mitzvah, because whatever mitzvah we can grant, like Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, to be yotzei trumas and maisas. Ah, he wasn't chayev yet. That's part of chavivas and mitzvah, is that you want to go out of your way to perform a mitzvah. That's the same thing we do when it comes to tzitzis. So we try to aim to wear tzitzis the entire day, maybe at night also, the Rambam, the Rosh we spoke about, but we try as best as we can to wear tzitzis whenever we can. Yet when it comes to a talis gadol, so most of us only wear a talis gadol when we're davening, and not even when we're davening mincha. Most of us are only wearing a talis gadol when we're davening shacharis. So where did that come from? That somehow shacharis was zeichet to talis. My high. Maybe we should all put on a talis dafka for mincha. What was so special about shacharis? The Meshech Chochma has an interesting comment. He says he thinks that's the zchus of Avraham Avinu. He thinks that the reason why everybody wears a talis gadol, which is the ultimate way of fulfilling the mitzvahs. We already said a few times. The talis katan, maybe it's kosher, maybe it's not kosher. I'm not even sure it's big enough. But the talis gadol, that's for sure you get it. It's with. So the Meshech Chochma writes that he thinks that the reason why Klal Yisrael, the minig became, so we dafka wear the talis gadol, the talis shacharis, and mincha, most people don't wear the talis gadol. So he says he thinks it's a throwback to Avraham Avinu, because it says that imichut v'yad tzruch nal, that Avraham Avinu says to Melech Sodom, he's not going to take anything from him, imichut v'yad tzruch nal. So Chazal say that Michut, the Zchus of him saying Michut, so he was Zocha to the Chutshal Tchelis, Chutshal Tzitzis. So in Avraham Avinu's Chus, that's where we got the mitzvah of Tzitzis. The Atzroch Nal was different opinions what it is. Tzroch Nal. One day is that refers to the Sandal Shal Chalitza, that we have the mitzvah of Chalitza as a Zecha, as a Zchus of Avraham Avinu. That's what there's a minig. At the end of the Chalitza, we say, Asher Kiddushar Mitzvah Zal Lishma Chukos Shal Avraham Avinu. So without Hashem and Malchus, it's a strange bracha that the Shulchan Aruch records to remember the fact that Avraham Avinu said something about a Sroch Nal, about a shoe strap. And the other pshat of the shoe strap is we got the mitzvah of Ritzul Shal Tfilin in the Zchus of Avraham Avinu. So the Shachachal writes that since it was Avraham Avinu who was the first one to get Klal Yisrael the Zchus of the mitzvah of Tzitzis, so it was a thank you, a curse, a tarif to Avraham Avinu in his tefillah, Avraham Tikkun Tefillah Shacharis. So Avraham Avinu's tefillah, that's what we put on a talis gadol for. So the stomach, that's the same reason why we put in that tefillah also. It's part of the same package deal. That since Avraham was the first one to get us these special mitzvahs, so it was an expression of a curse itself to him, so we put in a talis, put in a tefillin, tafka drawing a shacharis. But again, the Iker Adin, we should really be wearing tzitzis the whole day, like hopefully that tzitzis, if the talis cuttings are up to par, so we hopefully are yotzei tzitzis the whole day, but at least during shacharis, it's a good idea to be wearing tzitzis, and at least during shacharis, it's a good idea to be wearing tefillin.
So it's like an assumption that Yitzchak and Yaakov didn't follow the minhag of.
No, I didn't say that. I just said Avram started it.
No, if I'm saying that logic would make the assumption that Avram was Masachet.
Avram was Masachet. Yitzchak and Yaakov continued along what Avram did. They also dived in Shacharis. But each one had their own input into Tefillah. Is there a mitzvah of Chalitza in the morning? I'm not getting something on him. The Pesachim say she tried to do Chalitza early in the day because the Yavama's not allowed to eat until she does Chalitza because we're afraid it's going to mess up the spin. So why should she be hungry until 4 o'clock in the afternoon? No, what are they doing? Whatever they do. Anyway, so this Meshech Chochma is in a certain sense a bridge really to our next set of halachas. Hopefully Mitzvah Shem will... That's how it's covered at tefillah. That's how it's covered at tzibur. So we have the shlech tzibur wears a talis.
And the minute that they started doing, people do it only shachmas mincha, other people do shachmas mincha.
But Maariv is a different form. Maariv is lav zman tzitzis. So many felt that was inappropriate. They go put in a talis for Maariv. And the others say, do they say, because it's nothing to do with tzitzis. It's how it's covered at tzibur. Lamish and Sadr, Kodesh Baruch, ki shlech tzibur. So this Meshech Chochma was a little bit of a bridge into the next topic. So next week we'll talk more about Richos, obviously, about the mitzvah of tefillin. But the starting point really is the fact that we have this strange phenomena, both when it comes to the talis gadol and when it comes to tefillin. Tefillin is also a strange thing, that Medina de Gemara, as we spoke about Friday night, Medina de Gemara, is supposed to be tefillin the entire day. So all of a sudden, we don't do that. So we'll see, hopefully, as we go on, why our practice is not to tefillin the entire day, even though the Chatchila wants you to do that. And why tefillin became dafka punk related to shacharis rather than to mincha, as we mentioned, alluded to, became dafka shacharis to get things. So according to the Meshech Chochma, makes sense that that's also part of the Avraham Avinu picture. Hopefully, next week, so we'll start to talk about the inyanim of the mitzvah.